Thank you, everyone, for coming out to our Thursday evening service. Please take your seats and open your green hymnals to page 224. Page 224. Green hymnals, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing, page 224. Sing it out with me on the first. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Page 224 on the third. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead on the last. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Man, thanks for coming out tonight and good singing. Brother Robert, can you open us with a word of prayer? Man, our second song is page 246. Redeemed, page 246. Redeemed, page 246, sing it out with me on the first. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed on the third, sing it out with me. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. This time we'll have our announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through them really quickly. Is there any bulletins available? Does anybody need a bulletin? If you need a bulletin, would you slip up your hand? I guess not. All right. So we have our verse of the week. On the front cover, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And we had our services last week. Were a little different than normal, and we had a big party over at Justin's house. I stayed up till 4:30 in the morning. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just like a Baptist party. So anyway, I was suffering for it the next day. But our service times at Shure Foundation Baptist Church, Sunday morning service is 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening service 3:30 p.m., and Thursday Bible study 6:30 p.m. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and so I'll do part 2. I just ran out of time last week, so anyway, our soul winning times are listed below. Do we have we had any souls saved? Anybody get anybody saved this week since Sunday? Got one yesterday. Amen. All right, great. So that brings our total up to 5 for the month. And let's see, we had 103 in service on Sunday morning. So praise God for that. We had 91 in the evening service. And so the Spanish kids class is, do we already have the class? Already had it, okay. And we already did our 4th of July services, like I said. We had a great time. Just wanted to thank the Sawyers for letting us use their home. And it was, I don't know what the count was there, but we might need to rent the governor's mansion next year for our 4th of July party. It was pretty hopping, but we had a great time. We just appreciate it. The fireworks were kind of lame, but, you know, it is what it is. It's the worst fireworks I've ever seen in Vancouver since I've lived here. But, you know, we get to see other people. You know, I might just do that next year, you know, just we'll just get the kids' stuff and then we'll watch everybody else light their stuff off. So it's a lot cheaper. So but we still got to see some good fireworks, so it was good. Anyway, we have the next upcoming event we have is the Red Hot Preaching Conference. That's July 15th through 18th. And I think we have our champions that are going to be representing us at the conference. I don't know. Is Brandon won the tournament, right? And then who was second place?
Evan,
Richie, and then who else?
Sean and Bill.
And then Ramon is an alternate if one of them get injured. So, just kidding. All right. So, but he is an alternate just in case. So he was the fifth runner-up. So, anyway, I don't think we have any kids in the tournament. We're going to have to just let other people take our kids' spots. So anyhow, let's see. That's coming up next week. So it's swiftly coming upon us. So it's going to be a great time down there. It's going to be a packed time. I don't know if you saw the video that Pastor Amen has put out, but the parking is going to be an issue. So if you want to get a good parking spot and you're going to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, you better show up early. Don't be like you are here and just show up at the last second. So you should probably get there early, get a spot. Now, the rule is in most Baptist churches, if your Bible is sitting on the seat, you don't touch that Bible. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but, like, you could be kicked out of the church for that. So it's a big deal. If someone moves my Bible, they better put the gloves on because it's going to be a fight. Anyway, just want to throw that out there. I've never preached that doctrine before, but it is in 2 Opinions chapter 2, so verse 16. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we also have the next big event after that is our grand reopening and 3-year anniversary in our new building, and the progress is going good. Brother Ryan got the air conditioning going. It looks like he was up on a roof today or something. Like, you look like you're a little hot still. You can crank that AC up. You've earned the right to crank that AC up. Yeah, it was a white roof, so it just, like, reflects off like you're, you know, in Mexico or something. So anyway, thank you very much, Brother Ryan. So now we got AC working in the whole building. So that's awesome. That's a blessing. We got all the carpet ripped out. I just wanted to say thank you to all the people that are helping with that. We got walls built. We got we still got a lot to do, but we're trying. One thing we need to pray about is that we can get the carpet in there before the event happens. So it's kind of like right now. So that's a big prayer we need answered. But Pastor Bruce McHale will be preaching for us on Friday night, carpet or no carpet, at 7 p.m. It just might look a little strange. And Annie said she was going to take some pictures, so just don't, if the carpet isn't in, just like zoom up or something. But anyway, Pastor McHale is going to be preaching for us. It'll be good to see him. And then the Soul Winning Marathon will be on Saturday. Lunch will be provided. And then Pastor Jones is going to be preaching for us on Sunday night. I'll be preaching on Sunday morning. But Pastor Jones will be preaching at 3:30 on Sunday evening. So we got an all-star cast coming to help us kick it off. And then if you want to help with anything at the building, please see Brother Robert Alcorta for opportunities and work schedules. We're trying to get the paint and everything tomorrow, right? So if anybody wants to help mask it off, and we're going to start painting. So we're trying to get everything done as soon as possible. We got Red Hot Preaching Conference kind of right in the middle of everything, but he's not going. So if you're here and you want to help out with the building in any way, just see Brother Robert. I'd really appreciate it. And of course, you know all the other stuff here. I'm not going to go through the rest of this, but I just want to say we had a great anniversary yesterday, me and my wife, and we just went off into a desert place and rested a while. So we didn't really rest. We were driving all over the place yesterday, but it was fun. We went and saw the Painted Hills, and if anybody's never seen that before, it's pretty cool. And we just kind of drove around and saw the beauty of Oregon. Like, not a single car passed us for miles and miles and miles. It was really weird. But, you know, there was a lot of suicides that are out there, deers trying to kill themselves. And they like to be out in the road anywhere you're at, so be careful if you're driving through that byway. But anyway, so we had a great anniversary, so thanks, everybody, for wishing us a happy anniversary. We appreciate that. Yes, sir. All the class is canceled. No, I'm just kidding. It's not canceled. It's at 10 o'clock at the Lambert home. So I can just assume that they're not helping with the building then. Is that... Good night. Who planned this thing? Anyway, that was the day the ladies were supposed to clean the building. No, just kidding. So anyway, bring your own cans, and all the other stuff's provided, I think. So that's 10 o'clock. If you need the address, see the Lamberts after the service, all right? Anything else? No? All right, we'll sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
Get your blue hymnals out and turn to page 323. Blue hymnals, page 323, Be Thou My Vision. Blue hymnals, page 323. Be Thou My Vision, sing it out with me on the first.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, walking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. my King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright have sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
At this time, we'll have our offering. Brother Sean, can you bless the offering for us, please?
Pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, that you'd bless both the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At this time, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the opportunity to come and pray in your house, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with Annabelle as she's sick right now, and also for Bowie as she has some tests that she has to do over the next couple weeks. And that we just pray, Lord, that the test results would come back with good news, Lord. And also for Alex's wife, Mary, who's recovering from a sickness in her lungs. Lord, I pray that you would help her. She's still in the hospital, Lord, and we just pray that you would reach down and help her feel better, Lord. And Miss Sarah Miller, we pray for her as she's enduring some gallbladder pain, and Lord, also for guidance of wisdom with that. And also Miss Tess, pray that you would help her. She just has been going through some scans, and she has a CT scan scheduled for the 16th. Lord, I pray that it would be good news that she gets back, and Lord, that if there's anything wrong, that you would heal that immediately, Lord. And we pray for Miss Sherry's unspoken for her friend and family. Lord, also for Miss Alexis, unspoken prayer, and also some struggles that she's having. Lord, I pray you'd reach down and help her and just comfort her, Lord. For Brother Ramon, who has an unspoken prayer requests. That's very important, Lord. And also for our new building, that everything would go smooth and everything would come together on time so that it's all put together and ready to go. Lord, we thank you so much for all the people that are helping right now and all the hard work that's going into it, Lord. I pray that you bless them for taking extra time out of their day and their busy schedule to help with the building, Lord. And Lord, for all that are not feeling well right now, I pray you'd watch over them, bless them, heal them, and keep them. And Lord, Traveler's Mercies, also for the Red Hot Preaching Conference, for all those that are attending. And Lord, you take care of everybody's vehicles, and Lord, everybody's safety. And Lord, let's pray for a great conference that would help us and edify us and fire us up, Lord. Also, we praise you for Brother Ricky getting his Social Security card, and pray that you would help him to get a job opportunity that he's looking for. Lord, we pray for Steadfast Baptist Church, who's our church of the month this month. Lord, they're going through a lot of persecution right now. Just pray, Lord, that you'd watch over them, bless them, and help them, help Pastor Shelley to make good decisions, Lord. And I pray that you would, Lord, just destroy those wicked sodomites that are trying to go against them. And I pray that you just comfort the people as they go through persecution there. And Lord, also for our church in England, we just want to praise you for the fact that they got the building that we've been praying for so long. And I just want to thank you for that, Lord. And also, just Lord, for our church here. Lord, we're growing and we're doing well. I pray that you would just continue to bless our church and bless each and every person that's coming here, Lord. I pray that you just send us more people, but Lord, that we'd grow in spirituality more than anything else, Lord. And we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Good evening. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 7. The Bible reads, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therefore abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We love your word. We crave it, Father. Pray you'd help us to focus on it. Lord, take away all distraction today and fill Pastor with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So this is part 2. And we're going to cover verses 17 through 40. But I want you to back up to verse 16. And it says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" So that's kind of where we left off, talking about when an unbelieving spouse would depart, that you know we shouldn't try to stop them. In such cases, we're not under this bondage that it was talking about, which in context, I believe, is talking about how you're not in bondage to still do this, the duties of a wife or the duties of a husband in the cases of a departing, unbelieving spouse. I believe that's the context, and you know, I believe that Jesus was very clear when he said that the only reason to get a divorce is for fornication. So, you know, to say that this is an excuse to allow someone to get divorced, that's not what the Bible is teaching, because otherwise Jesus would have said, oh, and if the unbelieving spouse leaves. So that's not what it's talking about. So what is it talking about? Well, you got to, everything's got to be defined within its context. And I think the context is very clear, you know, and obviously this whole chapter is like concerning fornication and marriage and divorce and, you know, what should we do under, you know, because they're obviously, they wrote Paul and said, hey, what do we do about these situations? And so that's what this chapter's covering. There was just too much last week to bite off the whole thing. And I didn't want to just skip over 23 verses. So I decided to do part 2. So let's look at verse number 17. It says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that we could just be here, Lord, in church tonight and serving you, Lord, and doing a Bible study. God, I pray you just bless the service tonight, Lord. I know there's a lot of people that are tired. They've been working real hard. And Lord, I just pray you bless them and help them to stay attentive to your word tonight, Lord. Help us all to get something out of this, Lord. I pray you fill me with your Spirit, with power and boldness as I preach this sermon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So point number one tonight, there's only two points, is stick with your calling in life. Look at the verse again in verse 17. It says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." So basically, you know, the calling in your life, well,
Where is everybody at when they were called to be a Christian? Where were you at? What situation were you in? Well, but the context of this is talking about what is your status basically in life at that point? Are you married? Are you unmarried? Are you a virgin? Are you not a virgin? And so we got to, again, define everything in its context. But the Bible actually, you know, goes on to show some other examples. So it's kind of like a little pause also in the story here. But the context is, of course, marriage. So, but he says, if you're, however you're called, walk in that calling. If you're, you know, if you're married, stay married. You know, and I was just thinking about this as soul winners. When we go out and get people saved, we get people saved of all different kinds of ages, all different walks of life. Is the husband always home? No. Is the wife always home? No. So we leave them in this situation where they're saved, and maybe they don't come to church. Maybe, you know, maybe they don't follow after things, but maybe they do. Maybe the God starts to work in their lives, and we don't know what's going on in some of these people's lives. But, you know, Jesus said he came not to bring peace, but a sword. And so sometimes there's situations where there's a sword in someone's household. One person's saved, the other person's not, and it does cause problems. But God wants us to, he wants us to walk in the calling that we've been called with. You know, don't just get, because a lot of believers, this is what they'll do. They start getting puffed up, or they get upset because their spouse isn't saved or whatever the situation is. And then they'll be like, well, I'm a Christian, and now I just want to just divorce myself from this whole life over here and just start new as a Christian, get rid of that spouse or whatever. But God doesn't want us to do that. So, but he does say he wants us to be in peace. So if it's such a bad situation where it's never going to work out and that other person leaves, let them leave. But we're not supposed to leave. So we're supposed to abide in the calling that God had called us in. Now, when I got saved, I was not married. But you know what my goal was to go get my wife, who she wasn't my wife at the time, but to get my wife now saved. And so my mission was to get her saved. It took me 4 months, and I was working on her all the time, trying to get her saved. Because you know what I realized when I got saved? That I needed my family. I wanted my family, and I wanted them to be with me, and it was really important to me. And so I went on a mission to get as many people saved in our families as I could, and my friends, which that didn't really work out too well. Bunch of reprobates. But anyway, I'm sad about that, actually, you know. But, you know, there comes a point when you gotta walk away, when you can't just let those people drag you down and have an influence in your life. But we're supposed to walk in how God has called us. That's how we should walk. So, you know, are you called? Did you get saved as a divorced woman? Well, stay a divorced woman. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know, you're supposed to stay in your state that you're at. You know, did your spouse leave you because you got saved? Well, stay separated. You know, and if you can reconcile, then reconcile. But don't seek another companion. And so Paul is a guy that, to me, I can't say that he's a virgin for sure, but it kind of seems like he is. I'm not being dogmatic about that, but it seems to me that Paul didn't have a necessity to have a wife. He's just one of those people. And so there are people that can contain themselves in that manner, and it just doesn't mean anything to them. So there's some people that don't have to, you know, have a spouse or whatever, and Paul is one of those guys. But let me just tell you this. Not everybody's like that, okay? It's a rare person that's like the Apostle Paul. But, you know, if you're, so some people, they stay a virgin. There's a guy named A.C. Green that played for the Lakers. Anybody remember A.C. Green? And I don't know what he believed. He was probably a heretic. But I don't know for sure. But he was like a virgin, like, through his whole career with the Lakers. Like, he was an older, you know, I think he retired as a virgin. I don't know. But, like, some people could just stay a virgin. And that was A.C. Green just wanted to stay a virgin. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you feel like you can serve the Lord and being a virgin and just never getting married, then that's perfectly fine. You know, you can serve the Lord a lot better and a lot more effectively by yourself without having, you know, something to tie you down. But I'll get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But look at what it says in verse 18. It says, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. I don't know how you do that, but I think that once it's gone, it's gone. But it says, is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So What was your call? You're not a Jew. You know, that law is, we don't have to keep that law anymore. So there's no reason for you to go get circumcised. So whatever your calling was, are you a gent? You know, were you a Gentile? Whatever, you don't have to get circumcised. See, people want to, you know, the Jews want to glory in your flesh and try to get people circumcised when they convert them. And it's a really weird thing. A lot of people want to glory in your flesh. You know, these work salvation type people want to glory in your flesh and be like, well, that person turned from all their sins and it's because of my tutelage with them or whatever. And, you know, Ray Comfort's mission is to show people that unless they repent, you know, like he did, right? He doesn't sin, apparently. Or John MacArthur or any of those guys. You know, it's work salvation. But really, they say and do not. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Period. Even after you get saved. So all these guys are a bunch of stinking liars and false prophets. And they want to glory in your flesh. But they won't lift anything with their little finger. That's what the Pharisees were like. They were work salvation people. And they were like, don't work on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus said to do what they say, but don't do after their works, right? So, but ultimately, look at verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. You see that? It doesn't mean anything. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. So we don't have to be circumcised. That's not part of the New Testament anymore. It's not a big deal. It's not something we need to do. But if you've already been circumcised, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, if your parents did it for, you know, whatever reason, because, you know, for some reason in the United States, it's not as big as it used to be. It's just a cosmetic thing, they say. But, you know, it's just not something that we need to do. We don't need to worry about it. And it's basically, it's tied to the Old Testament law. So why would you do that anyway? You're just like, you're keeping a law that you don't have to keep anymore. So it means nothing. That's what it says, right? It means circumcision is what? Nothing, right? It means nothing. Look at verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. What does that mean to abide? To stay with that calling, right? To stay with what you were when you got called. And what is it when you get called? It's when you get saved, right? So, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So, and look at verse 22. It says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye therefore servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he's called therein abide with God. So what's he talking about? He's talking about people that are servants. They're somebody else's servant because, you know, things are different now. Like now, if you work at Walmart, you know, you're called an employee. But if you look in the Black's Law Dictionary, it means servant, all right? So if you work for somebody, you're their servant, right? And so, but let's just... I just want to say this. There were such thing as slaves during this time, okay? Some people were they were captured or whatever. They were bought and people were bought and sold. The Roman Empire had slaves at this time. And so if you were born as a slave or you were a slave for somebody else, then what's God saying here? Say, "Hey, if you got saved as a servant, just you know, you're actually free. You're more free than someone that is not a servant, but hasn't been saved. Once you get saved, you are free. And you're free and you have liberty in Christ. Now, you might not be free from the social norms of the day. You might not be, you know, you might have to clock in and clock out under someone's will or whatever, but you're still free in Christ. You're free to serve Christ as you would. And it says, and look at verse 22 again. It says, for he is called in the Lord. Being a servant is the Lord's freeman. So a freeman is someone that's free, that is not a servant, right? And so likewise, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So it's kind of a weird thing. I'll come back to that here in just a minute. But it says, brethren, let every man where he is called therein abide with God. You can't escape the fact of who you are or what you were when you got saved. You just have to abide in the calling. He's saying abide in the calling that you were called. Now, say you're saved and you were in the military, you know, and you're still getting force vaxxed, you know, you're still fighting in Afghanistan or whatever. But, you know, you can still operate in the system of the world that we live in. You can't escape that. Now, I'm not saying stay in the military and retire in there or whatever once you realize that that's probably not, you know, something you should do. But, like, the calling that you're called in, you should stick with it and just realize that you're still free in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean free to break all God's commandments and do whatever you want. You're free to serve Christ the way we should be able to serve Christ. That's what it's saying. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So if you're saved, where is the Spirit when it pertains to you? Inside you, right? So is there liberty within you? Yes, there is. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. There is liberty. So we are free once we get saved. But we're bought with a price. We're bought by the blood of Christ. And so it's kind of a weird situational thing that it's talking about. Say, well, you're free, but you're free to serve Christ as a servant. So it's kind of a paradox, right? It's an interesting paradox. So turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. It is a paradox, though. I mean, if you think about it. So he's saying, hey, if you're a servant, you're free. But if you're not a servant, you know, well, I don't know. It's interesting. So look at Galatians 2, verse 4. It says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." See, when we're saved, we don't want to be brought back into the bondage that we were already into, the bondage of sin. See, we're all in bondage to sin, and once we get saved, we're free from that. But see, there's always these types of people that always want to bring us back into that bondage, whether it be someone in the world or whether it be a spiritual type of bondage. Someone's always trying to bring us back and lasso us and hog tie us into bondage. But see, Paul was saying here that they came in to spy out the liberty that they had. And so remember, Paul got into a fight. You know, he had to get in Peter's face and tell him he was wrong because people were trying to bring him into bondage. And it worked because he was doing something that wasn't right. He was, you know, trying to act like a Jew, you know, and you know, he'd been freed from all that stuff, all that bondage, and like he wouldn't even eat with the Gentiles, and that was wicked. They were one in Christ Jesus, and Paul was like, "Uh-uh, no, you know, you're wrong," and he had to get in his face and tell him he was wrong, and that's hard to do. You know, it is. It's hard to do that, especially to a saved person that you know is probably a good person, a good guy, and you have to just, you know, smoke them in front of everybody, and it's not something you want to do. But sometimes we have to do things that don't make us very comfortable, right? Look at Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. So the book of Galatians is basically just telling us, hey, don't get into the bondage of the law. Don't let people try to bring you into this bondage. We need to be free and use our liberty in Christ. Look at where it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So we're not supposed to get back into that bondage. We're supposed to stay free. Well, what if we, you know, are in a situation where, like, you know, obviously slavery is not a thing in this country anymore, but it used to be, you know, and so even if you are a slave, you can still be free in Christ. Can't you still preach the gospel to other? Couldn't you still preach the gospel to other people and get them saved and make them free? Right. Look at verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Isn't that, I mean, that's a paradox too, isn't it? It's saying, you've been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Just because we're free doesn't mean you should, you know, just because we're free from the bonds of the law, you know, that we're not saved by the law or whatever, doesn't mean that we should just go and break God's commandments because we're free. Because we're saved by grace, and people will accuse us of this all the time. They'll be like, well, you know, you're being a Pharisee. You know, or no. So here's what they'll say. They'll say, you're just saying people can just go and do whatever they want, right? They'll say that. And I always say, yeah, you're right. But I'm not saying that people should do whatever they want, but they can do whatever they want and still be saved. But they're just going to get punished, you know? And so, you know, people will accuse us of this, but they're the ones that are actually the ones that are under bondage because they're not even saved, you know? And so we're trying to help free them, but see, they can't be free without being saved by Christ. And then it's interesting because Christ is the one that kept all the law so we could be free, and he bought us back, and we're servants of Christ, but yet we're trying to show them how to be free without having to keep the law. So it's really interesting theology there, isn't it? But look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Colossians 3, verse 22. So we're not supposed to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So what does a servant do? He serves, right? So Colossians 3, 22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now we're supposed to obey our masters according to the flesh. So if you work for somebody, they're your master according to the flesh, right? But it says, not with eye service. So you're not just waiting, you know, you're not just working hard when the boss is around, right? You know, watching for the boss, you know, to make sure that you're doing something good. Hey, when the boss catches you, he should catch you working, right? Now, obviously, there's times when that, you know, that doesn't happen. You're on break or whatever. But that's not a good time to get caught by the boss is when you're on break. Oh, hey, you're just like eating or whatever. But not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Who do we ultimately serve? You know, we've been freed to serve Christ. And it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We're not supposed to be in bondage to men. We're supposed to be in bondage to God, right? So whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. We're supposed to serve the Lord even at our work. He's ultimately our boss. So you look at your boss in the flesh, you know, we're working for them, but we're really working for God. And that's what we need to look at it like. Right. Hey, is God going to be pleased with the way I'm working right now? Because he's ultimately watching what you're doing. Yeah. You know, so you can have the eye service, you can be the man pleaser, you can be the boss's pet or whatever, but you know, if you're not really working hard, God knows you're not working hard. God knows that you're just being lazy or whatever. But it says we're supposed to do everything heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. So are we supposed to work hard with men? Yes, but ultimately what God is saying is that we're supposed to be working for him. And that's the way we need to look at it, right? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Christ is now our master. Whatever your calling was in life, Christ is now your master. He's your boss. He's the one that you're supposed to be working for. He's the one that you're supposed to be trying to please, not men. So that is the paradox, though, isn't it? So what is a paradox? A paradox is seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that we, when investigated or explained, may prove to be well-founded or true. There's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible, but the fact that we're not servants anymore, but we are servants. we were servants to sin, we were servants to our flesh, but now we're servants to Christ. We were in bondage, but now we're free. But it is a paradox, isn't it? It's interesting. So let's look back at our text in verse number 22. So I know I've already read verse 22. but I want to read it again. It says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." So we're free, but yet we're a servant at the same time. So it is a paradox. It is interesting. But as saved people, we do have liberty in Christ. We are free from the law and sin, yet free to serve Christ. And as such, we become servants with our freedom to serve God like we should. Okay? So we need to keep that in mind. So let's look at verse 25. Verse 25. So this is about point two, virgins and marriage. So that's basically kind of what the rest of the chapter is kind of talking about here. So look at verse 25. Now, and I can't say that I understand every single thing that's being talked about, because we live in a different society now. We don't have, like, I mean, how many people do you know besides children that are actually, you know, children or young adults that are actually virgins that are keeping their virginity for their whole life? I mean, that's just not something we see in society anymore, unfortunately. But back at this time, apparently it was a thing. So, and obviously, there are people, I'm sure, around the world that are still virgins, you know. There's going to be 144,000 of them that come down from heaven at some point, right? So obviously, throughout time, there has been some. But I mean, when you're talking about there's 7.9 billion people right now, and there's been billions of people in times past, I mean, that's not a lot, considering. So, but anyway, look at verse 25. It says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment." So now we need to understand also that when Paul's saying he's giving his judgment, that he's not giving, he says right, flat out, I have no commandment of the Lord. He's giving his opinion right here, but it is in Scripture. So obviously, it is a good judgment. Do you think God would allow Paul to put something in it was a bad judgment in here? Probably not. But he says, I give my judgment. And you know what? We give our judgment all the time about things, don't we? We have the Spirit of God just like the Apostle Paul had the Spirit of God. We all have the Spirit of God in us if we're saved. So, but it says, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. What's he talking about here? He's talking about being faithful in whatever situation he is. Obviously, he's not married. And so what is he being faithful to? The fact that he's staying unmarried, or he's just going to live his life for God. And who did more in the New Testament than the Apostle Paul? I mean, out of all the apostles, he did the most. So, and how did he do that? Well, he didn't have a wife. He didn't have a family. So he was able to serve Christ to his fullest. And so look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. And the Bible talks about, now, Johnny Nixon twists this verse on its head and says that eunuchs are queers or something like that, which, yeah, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. Eunuchs are people that just, they had their parts that would allow them to reproduce removed, okay? But that doesn't always necessarily mean that exactly. So I just want to show you this. Look at verse 12. It says, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb." So there's people in life that are never going to marry. They're never going to have that intimate relationship that people have that are married. They're born that way from their mother's womb, and they'll never interact in that way. And it says, "And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men." That's the ones that, you know, it's against their will, basically, for the most part. And it says, "And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." So there's people that are eunuchs that just, they can contain themselves. They just don't have that. They don't have to be intimate with someone. They don't have to get married. And that's a gift from God to allow that person to be able to serve God to their fullest. But this is a rare thing, okay? Yeah. And some people are just born and not able to do those, you know, they don't either have a drive, or they just have, you know, something to where they just can't, you know, be reproductive in that way. But either way, you know, there's three different types of eunuchs: the ones that are made eunuchs, the ones that are born eunuchs, and the ones that are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And so that's just a person that's they're never going to get married. They're never going to reproduce with children or anything like that. So let's look back at our text. So basically, I believe Paul is probably the type that made himself a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Okay, and I'm not saying that these people do something to themselves to make themselves that way. I think that they just have something within themselves that allows them to be, because that's what Paul said in verse 25 in our text. It says, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So I think that that's probably a gift that Paul has. And so it seems like he's pretty passionate about this subject. And if people can be this way, he is recommending that they stick with that calling, right? So look what it says in verse 26. It says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. See, and there's people that basically, they're in this situation where he's saying, hey, if someone already divorced you, or you're loosed from, because people get divorced. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop it in some situations. People just get divorced. And hey, he's saying is, hey, if you can be faithful like I am, then that's going to be the best thing for you. Don't seek to be married again. So it says, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So he's basically saying, if a virgin, they say, I'm going to be a virgin. But then they're like, you know what? I want to experience marriage. And they decide to get married. Then it's not wrong. That's, Now, obviously, if you vow a vow to the Lord to stay a virgin or something, that's different. But like, if you're just like one of those people, you're just like, I'm just never going to get married. I'm just going to serve the Lord. But then like later on, you get, this itch to like, I want to know what it's like to be married or whatever. He's just saying it's not a sin to do that. Look at verse 29. It says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. What's Paul trying to say? Well, the time is short. As Christians, our time is like a vapor, And so we don't have a lot of time. So even if you are married, hey, we need to get busy regardless of whether we're married or not. And, they that possess, as though they possess not. Hey, you got a lot of possessions. It takes a lot of time to take care of possessions, doesn't it? Yeah. Maintenance and all these different things. If you have a lot of possessions, maybe you should just pretend like you don't have those possessions and just get busy. The time is short. And people just they lose track of the fact that time is short on this earth, and we need to get busy regardless of what calling your life is in, regardless of where you're at right now. Hey, act like the time is short and get busy doing the things for the Lord, because the time goes fast. 20 years, me and my wife married. Whew, where'd that go? It went fast, and now I'm uglier and older and she's still with me. I can't believe it, but it's been great. We had a great time yesterday. We really had a good time. It was really nice. It was one to remember. So, but that time is short. Your life here is short. So look at verse 31. It says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." Look, don't get worldly. It's going to pass away.
Right.
You're going to get to, if you just think it's so cool to be worldly, the world is going to pass away.
Right.
It's going to burn up.
Right.
All the possessions that you ever have owned, all the pictures that you've ever owned, all the collectible dolls that you have, all the canning jars. I'm trying to get on the women here. I always bring up men's stuff. So, the thimble, the tea animals that you get out of the rose tea, all that stuff. It's all going to burn up.
Amen.
Everything that we have, all of our achievements, any trophies that you have, You know, I was the best ping pong player, and we got the trophy. We got the trophy for football, but guess what? That trophy's going to burn up.
Yeah.
It'll be symboled in heaven. No, I'm just kidding. There'll be a diamond in heaven for our football team. No, there won't be. It's all going to burn up. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
The fashion of this world passeth away. So like I said, regardless of where you're at, what's going on in your life, just remember the time is short and act accordingly. Look at verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So a Christian man that's unmarried, he can put all his focus. That's what Paul's saying. You can put all your focus how you can please the Lord. Right? And you can do a lot of things for the Lord if you don't have any mouths to feed. You don't have to do all this other stuff. You don't have to please your wife. Because look what it says in verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. You still have to, if you're married, you got to take care of your wife. You got to please your wife. You got to take care of your children and things like that. And so those things cut your time away from the Lord. Now, look, I'm not saying don't get married. I'm not in here. I'm not trying to preach, you know, nobody should get married. This is talking about to people that can do this, okay? And again, this is a very rare bird that can do this, right? Verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. So it's the same thing. A woman can work hard for the Lord, and if you just want to remain unmarried, you can do a lot of great things for God. It says that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband, and rightly so. You get married, you get committed, and those are the things that you're supposed to do. You have to care for the things of the world because the things of the world are going to please the husband or wife and take care of your children. So, verse 38, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord, what does it say? Without distraction. Because wives can be distracting, you know. Husbands can be distracting. Honey, make me something to eat. Like, I'm trying to read my Bible. No. You know I'm trying to read my Bible right now. It's just, you know, that's what I'm saying is that, like, you can't fully focus everything on the Lord because you have somebody else that you're supposed to be pleasing also. And you can't just marry someone and just, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, have fun. You just work it out, okay? That's not going to be a very good marriage. It's going to be ending in divorce very, very soon. So look at verse 36. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need to require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. So apparently, you know, this virgin or whatever, you know, people can have this, like, this commitment that they're going to be a virgin, but, like, you know, when it says that they're not sinning by marrying, that's what the Bible's teaching. Like, you know, it's not wrong for someone that has lived their life and said, hey, I'm going to be a virgin. It's not wrong to just say, hey, I'm going to get married. As long as, like, you didn't vow that vow to the Lord. Because if you vow a vow to the Lord, you need to keep the vow that you say that you're going to do. That's why we shouldn't vow things and say stupid things out of our mouths that, oh, God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise I'm going to serve you with my whole life. And then, like, you don't do that. God's going to hold you accountable for that. All right? So look at verse 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he'll keep his virgin, doeth well. So, you know, if you are a man and you're a virgin, or you have this virgin that you're, like, dedicated to or whatever, see, this is the part that I'm just like, I'm not really sure. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I understand the situation because it's just not a norm in our society. But it's talking about this man, and it seems like it's a virgin and somebody that they're bound to each other in some way, shape, or form, but that they're not married. So I guess I really just don't understand that, but I'm just being honest with you. So verse 38 says, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So basically, you know, the Bible's saying that, you know, and obviously the context here is talking about virgins, okay? So again, our society is not a virgin society, is it? You know, the United States is not known for the virgins that it produces, right? So it's actually a pretty wicked country, and it's filled with fornication. And so fornication is the norm that we grow up in our society. It's not these virgins that are committed to each other and then deciding to get married later on down the road. So again, not a norm in our society, but it's something that the Apostle Paul, he's basically, I mean, if you want to get something out of this, it's the people that can contain themselves in this way and that have committed themselves to serving the Lord. You know, what it's saying is that it's, you know, if they get to the end of their life or they get to their midlife crisis and they say, you know what, I want to get married, it's not wrong. So that's kind of what I get out of it. But down in verse 39, where it says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. So if someone gets divorced, then that woman is bound to that person as long as they live. That's what the Bible says, right? But if her husband is dead, be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So there's a lot of situations like this in society now. There's people that have gotten married and divorced, and maybe the other person is just like still alive. You know, the Bible is very clear, you're not supposed to get remarried. But once that person dies, then that person is free to marry whoever they want, okay? You know, and there's a lot of unfortunate, I talked about this before, but there's a lot of unfortunate situations where people marry these people, they turn out to be reprobates or whatever, you know, and the only thing I can say, if you want to hurry up and get remarried again, you know, pray for that reprobate to die and go to hell. I mean, I know that sounds mean, but you know, they're not doing society anything. If they're a true reprobate, that's what I'm talking about. Like if someone marries some homo, you know, and they didn't know they're a homo. Because, you know, homos like to hide in plain sight. They like to pretend. They're psychopaths. They like to pretend that they're this family man or whatever, and then they find out later that he's a closet queer or whatever. So, you know, I would say in that situation, you know, it's fine to pray for that person to die and go to hell. Right. Because they're not, again, if they're a reprobate, they're not doing anything good for society. And so, you know, but you're still bound to that reprobate as long as you live, unfortunately. So, like Manly Perry, I know, is giving advice, marriage advice, and saying it's okay to divorce a reprobate. Chapter and verse on that? Right. It's not in the Bible. Right. So, you're just, you know, it sounds good. But I actually had a church member of mine call me and say, well, Pastor, my husband is a reprobate, you know. And I heard Pastor Perry's sermon about how it's okay for you to divorce a reprobate. I was like, well, you know, and this is before it was Manly Perry exposed, but I just said, I don't agree with him. I mean, I feel bad for you that that's the case, but that's not what the Bible says. So I preached about this last week. It's just, you know, this is divorce and marriage are the hardest things that I deal with as a pastor, and all these weird situations that happen because divorce can just be done by either side. You know, in the Bible, it doesn't teach that women even can divorce their husbands. Like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the Bible teaches that men are the one that divorce their wives. It's not the other way around. Men who are not supposed to multiply wives do it anyway, but you never see women, you know, multiplying husbands, right? So there is, like, it is different. You know, show me a verse where it says a woman had multiple husbands. It just doesn't happen. But you see a man having multiple wives. So there is some different rules for men and women in the Bible. But so now we live in a day and age where women can just divorce men for whatever reason, right? No cause, no fault divorces. I just thought he was ugly when I woke up the next day and I just decided to divorce him. I mean, you can literally divorce people for those reasons. That's really stupid. And so, like, basically, the judges of America have become like the Pharisees. OK, Can we divorce for any reason? Yep. As a matter of fact, women can divorce the men. But like, you don't see that happening in the Bible. But now we see it. And so, you know, we got to fight against that, this kind of culture. And it's Manly Perry just saying, you know, it's just not just Manly Perry. It's just all kinds of pastors teach us crap. That you can just divorce for whatever reason they feel like is necessary in their own eyes. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pastors who are going to get smoked on Judgment Day for teaching this garbage. Yeah. I'm talking about pastors who are not saved, by the way. But, you know, there's probably pastors in this life that are saved that are teaching this crap, and God's probably judging them for it. And it is a wicked thing. God hates divorce. You know, he hates the putting away. The Bible's very clear about that. What God has put together, let no man, you know, part asunder, right? So we're not supposed to divorce. Now, if one of the spouses dies, then it's okay. You're free to go and get remarried, but only in the Lord. See, a lot of people just get remarried and they'll just make the same stupid mistake that they made before. It's like, well, he's a Catholic, so I think he's Christian. No, they're not Christians. You know, these different, you know, you want to marry someone that matches up with what you believe. So, and even then, it can be difficult. Because sometimes people just, you know, they love each other at the beginning. But like I said, you know, you start leaving the toilet seat up or whatever. Throwing your dirty undies on the floor. Like, I told you to clean them put those underwear. Is it really that hard to put it in the basket? People fight about the dumbest things and get divorced over the stupidest things. But, you know, if people just read this book, they would have a lot better marriages. Pastor, what should I do? Read Ephesians 5. Pastor, what should I do? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Pastor, what's your advice on this? Read the Bible. That's what I want to say. Because it seems like any other advice I give just gets ignored anyway, so I might as well just point them to the Bible. I like Pastor Anderson's counseling. You know, I used to think, well, you know, maybe we should just try. It's like, then it's like, I mean, obviously, I still want to help people with counseling, but I'm just saying to do this and say, hey, you know the verses that, you know, are in the Bible about marriage? Why don't you just read those? Let not man part asunder. Hey, in the beginning, they made them male and female. So, God, what God has put together, don't put asunder. That means either side. You know, and women should just not take advantage of these loopholes that they have in society where you can just get divorced for whatever reason. You know, and don't listen to your family that are unsaved on marriage advice. You know who you shouldn't listen to on a marriage advice? The world. You know, what was that lady's name that married all those people and she was a movie star? Elizabeth Taylor. Don't take advice from people like Elizabeth Taylor. Don't take advice from people that have been divorced or remarried on how to... I mean, obviously people that have been divorced or remarried can still have a good marriage, but I'm just saying that you probably shouldn't take your advice from them. You should probably go to someone that's maybe been married for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years. Or how long have your parents been married, Brother Sean? A lot of years. Yeah, so... You know, go to people that have made it stick and stayed and made it pay. Don't go to someone that's just like not even married. I mean, that'd be dumb, right? Hey, what do you think I should do? It's like, but people will try to give their advice, won't they? And your divorced, twice divorced parents sure want to give you advice, don't they? And people that are, you know, that have just failed miserably in life, or they're just not even saved. Look, we got to stop getting our advice from worldly people in the world. Amen. Stop looking at stupid sitcoms and things where, you know, I mean, we just should be the opposite of all that. Right. How we rear our children, how we treat our wives, how we just interact with everything that we do. Look, the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. Yep. So we're supposed to take and separate ourselves from that. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So... that's what God expects from us. And the better we learn that, the better off our marriages are going to be, the better off our families are going to be, the better off our children are going to be raised. You know, we got to take everything that we get from this book. Amen. And stop going to the world. Stop going to unsaved people. Stop going to your friends that you've known for 30 years. I don't care if you've known them for 30 years. Good. I'm glad you went to high school with them and you've been friends for that long, but you should never, ever get your advice from someone that's unsaved or someone that's been divorced or someone that's never been married when it comes to marriage topics. If someone's failed miserably with their children, don't go to them for child-rearing advice. You know, you don't want to go to people that have failed. You don't want to go, what's that guy's name that's a coach for the Kansas City Chiefs? What's his name? Brother Justin, I know you know, you worldly man. Huh? Andy Reid, yeah. I'm sorry, Brother Justin, I'm just kidding. Andy Reid, his kids, I think, were like gangsters, basically. So he's leading the Eagles at this time, and then his kids are just like total thugs. I think that they might be, even be dead, or a couple of them, or one of them, I don't know. But like, yeah, he's a great coach. He's a great football coach, but you know what he is? He's a terrible father. Michael Jordan, terrible person. Great basketball player, terrible person. You know, he probably got his dad killed from some gambling debt or whatever. You know, and that, but yeah, you know, he's super prideful and super worldly, but people just emulate Michael Jordan, don't they? The world emulates the world, but we as Christians should not emulate what the world has to offer, okay? And so when it comes to marriage and child rearing and just living, Christian living, you know, the world can show great things and work ethic, and you know, they can be, the children of this world can be wiser sometimes than Christians. You know, we'll blow ourselves up on stuff when we shouldn't, and we can learn things from the world, but I'm not saying you should take your advice from them. If you see someone that has a great work ethic and they're not saved, there's nothing wrong with emulating their great work ethic. Right. Just don't emulate the way they talk, the way they smoke, the way they chew, and run with girls who do or whatever. You know, we got to take everything we got from the Bible. You know, it's so important. It's so important. You know, when you see families that are failing, even churches, you know, we should emulate our church more after a good church that's thriving and not some church that is failing, you know, and they got like three people in their church or something. It's like, how do you do it, man? How do you do it? It's like, that's not the person you should go to, you know, to try to help you with church thing, you know. Anyway, so look, the Bible says, look at verse 40. It says, but she is happier so if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So basically, ultimately, Paul is saying here, you know, if someone abides and doesn't get remarried after they get divorced, or all these different scenarios that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has laid out for us, you're going to be happier if you go after what Paul's judgment is, to just serve the Lord with everything you have, and don't try to entangle, you know, if you're already divorced, don't try to get remarried. Because, you know, what do you want to do? You want to serve God as a person that's saved and not, you know, you've already screwed it up, you know, go to plan B. Plan B for your, God's plan B for your life, and his plan B is not to get remarried. That's sin. So we should go after what, you know, and I think Paul's judgment is right here. And he says, you know what he says at the end? He says, I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So do you think Paul had good judgment? Paul was a great man. So he probably is right, you know. And it's not saying that it's God's commandment that he teaches this part, but he's probably right, you know. And how do we know that he's probably right? Because nobody did more than he did for God in the New Testament, period. So anyway, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great book, and pray that you just, Lord, take us home safely. We thank you for all the blessings that you do for us and the answered prayer, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us to, Lord, just think about things the way you want us to think about them. And Lord, that we would be your freemen, Lord, and not servants to sin, not servants to the world. Lord, you've called us out of that. You've freed us from that. You've redeemed us from that. I pray you'd help us to see that our time is short on this earth, and that, Lord, we would seek, regardless of what our calling is, where we're at, that we would abide in the calling that we were called in. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
96 in your green hymnals. Sing our last song, page 96. God leads us along. God leads us along. Sing it out with me on the first. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cold flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. On the last, away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Thanks for coming out this evening. I'd like to see you back here Sunday morning at 10:30. Brother Sean Collin, can you end us with a word of prayer?